Go ahead, dude.
Hello, Richard.
Yes.
Yeah, my name's Andy. Love you, love your show. I'm calling from Seattle, Washington, and I've got a problem with my band.
Live via conference call, we have Lawrence, Kansas's The Pomonas, except that one of them is in Seattle, and we're going to check in with Andy and see if he's there. How you doing, Andy?
Oh, just great.
We have this image of you right now with a microphone pointed at a phone, and of course Andy's on the speaker, but he is with us, and so is Justin Ripley and Brandon Ripley of The Pomonas. How you guys doing?
Woo!
Yep, doing good.
Good. The occasion is a new record that's going to come out roughly about the time that your band breaks up.
Yep. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep. So let's start with Andy. Why don't you explain how this all went down, Andy?
What went down specifically?
How is it that you have a record coming out sort of posthumously, and what is the deal with the Pomonas?
Okay. I would guess the simplest way to put it is one of our members, Ryan Laird, he got married and pretty much had to move to New Orleans. And basically, I don't know, I've lived in Lawrence a long time. I love Lawrence, but I kind of came to the decision that, you know, if I can't really, you know, have the band going and everything, that I'd like to try maybe living somewhere else, you know, just as a bit of an experiment. So anyway, I followed it through with that, and you know, it was kind of an abrupt decision, but anyway, yeah, at least on my end, that's pretty much how the whole thing went down.
Okay, and are you regretting that decision yet, or what?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm regretting it.
Did you screw up your life or what?
It's more of a lateral move than I thought it would be, but no, it's going fine, and yeah, that's about all I can say. I don't know. I've got a job that's every bit as shitty as the one I had back in Kansas, and you know, Seattle is okay, but I mean, it's not like a thrill a minute or anything. So,
what kind of job are you doing?
That's the Andy Gassaway take on Seattle, America.
What are you doing in Seattle?
I'm working a temp job. I audit time cards.
Justin's cracking up right now. I don't know why. Why are you cracking up, Justin?
I have no idea either, because this really isn't funny.
I was just
on the verge of suicide, like every day.
Yeah.
funny when you talk to on like through this phone. It just sounds like we're addressing some kind of national crisis or something. Like we've got an expert in from.
Well, you know, I think in a way we are. I mean, I think in our wake, we left a lot of Lorentzians kind of wondering what to do now. It's like, you know, how does life go on in a Pomona-less world? You know, I think we're all kind of hanging on to see what the answer to that is.
Well, it was either that, you know, you moving to Seattle or staying in Lawrence and coming to work with me at Jiffy Lube. So,
That's true.
You're doing all right.
That always was an option, yeah. Yeah, Jiffy Lube was always an option, although, like, given my automotive expertise, I think there would have been a lot of spontaneously combusting vehicles.
All right, so the new record is called Good Cop, Good Cop, and it's got 9 songs on it. When will it be out?
We're doing – Ryan and Andy are both flying in from their respective corners of the country to do 2 last shows in Lawrence, July 27th and 28th, and there's going to be some Naked Girls and Approach, who's pretty sweet. And volunteers and you there, Andy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to give you a little bit of background here. Like where I work is right by Wing, like World Headquarters, and it's just loud as hell. So I'm like walking around. Some guy in the parking lot just like I was trying to sit in my car. He turned on some baseball game really loud. So right now I'm kind of wandering around trying to find a quiet place to sit and hear you guys.
All right, so yeah, the 2 shows, and we're gonna do the CD release just like we did the last record, where we're giving everybody a CDR. I think we might just dress it up a little bit and sell it for like $2, do a cheap door both nights. We're playing Jackpot and Replay downtown 2 consecutive nights, and
that'll be a Friday and Saturday.
And then we'll pay for some plane tickets and then press the record after that. And who knows? We'll send out a bunch of copies just like everybody does when they put out an album and see if we can get some feedback and stuff like that. So,
right. I guess maybe I'm premature in saying that the band is broken up. That may not necessarily be the case.
I'd say there's a 95%, like, it's looking in that direction. I mean, Andy, do you have any take on that? It's like, it's how can you pull off 3 different, or 4 different dudes in 3 different cities and different parts of the country, but...
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing sounds pretty illogical and not feasible. But, you know, hey, man, anything is possible.
Let's talk about the record now that it's done. Tell us a little bit about it, and are you happy with the way it turned out?
Well, it was good recording it. I was unfortunate to be sick throughout the recording, and I think during the recording, with like 103 temperature, so that
the
was fun. Not the entire. It kind of, yeah, died down after finally getting into it. And I think a couple other guys, I might have got them sick as well.
It was recorded in really primitive conditions too. Like on top of everybody being sick, we were in this little place that didn't have plumbing or heat. And this was like in February, and it was like 20 degrees every day.
There's a lot of contaminated rivers out towards Clinton Lake, I think.
Right. I mean, it's like, we're having to like shit in the yard and like have like all over the place, but like, you know, and everybody's like totally sick, but experience anyway, believe it or not. I don't know. I mean, we kind of had to hurry things along because we only had 9 days.
Yeah, it was 8 days. Like it's without the, I don't know. Without the jokes and stuff, I guess it was 8 straight days. Me and Brandon got deathly sick. Andy and Ryan, they were in some kind of like fever coma out at the lake because they stayed out there for like 6 consecutive nights, living on like saltines and 6 packs of beer.
Yeah, minus the cannibalism, it was pretty much a lot like the Donner Party, I'd imagine, you know, in a way, like... With only the creation of an album to pass the time.
That's true.
How'd you end up at this place? What is this place?
You ever heard of a guy named Outlaw Jake?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he's got a little studio out there, and that's where we recorded this. And that's I think Andy and Brandon had a little bit to do with his record and whatever, and we gave him some money, and somehow we ended up out there, sort of thing.
Yeah, we called it even at $100 because one night he came home really drunk and just nailed my car.
He tried to split.
Already in bad shape, but anyway, there was just kind of this unspoken agreement that because of that.
Like every other great NASCAR driver, he tried to split two cars and he didn't have enough room. And I guess they don't drive drunk in NASCAR.
And this is in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah.
Also.
I've been hearing from Ryan that Friday is going to be we're going to play as good as we possibly can or something, and then Saturday, I heard Ryan's going to the casinos at like 11 o'clock in the morning and starting to drink. Did you hear about that? I heard you and Ryan were going to go to the Boulevard Factory or something, which I don't see happening, but I'm talking to you, Andy.
What? Are you talking to me?
Yeah, dude. I thought Ryan told me that you and Ryan were going to go to the Boulevard Brewery at like 11 o'clock in the morning after our CD release party.
This is news to me. He doesn't return my phone calls anymore. Uh-huh. And like usually, I don't know. It's news to me on the Boulevard Wheat field trip. But, you know, if that's in the cards, then so be it. We'll see how.
I think he asked me. He asked me and maybe he just was like, oh, yeah, dude, everybody's going. And I'm like, well, who's going, man? And he's like, oh, you know, Andy, my sister. I don't know. I guess we should get at this point.
Like
we should give
out with him and his sister. So no, I'll probably just hang out in Lawrence.
I guess at this point we should give a shout out to Ryan, who is not with us in this conversation. And actually,
he's probably up a telephone pole or something right now with a hard head on.
Have some good song titles, so I'm going to challenge you a little bit to tell me a little backstory, perhaps. Okay. Let me throw one out to you.
I would highly doubt that any of the songs on this record have anything to do with anything, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Coral Castle's, I guess, about something.
Well, let's start with that one.
Andy read or saw something about this dude on Wikipedia, so...
It was actually on this show called In Search Of, which was like an Unsolved Mysteries type show that they did in the 70s that Leonard Nimoy wrote.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool show if anybody ever gets a chance to see it, like in reruns or anything, but they did a special on the Coral Castle, and it's just this German immigrant guy. It appears that he built a big castle in Florida out of big chunks of coral with his bare hands, and nobody really knows how he did it. Because he wouldn't let anyone watch, like he had,
and he did it for his 16-year-old muse, I guess, and that's the pathetic.
Yeah,
part of
he did it to try to get this 16-year-old girl to marry him, and she still didn't want to, which is understandable. I mean, this guy was clearly insane, but you know, it's a cool story anyway.
And Andy told me about it, and I had like a, I don't know, it's that song is completely crazy. It was written unlike anything else that we've done in the Pomonas. It was like I had an instrumental, and I wrote all the lyrics, and then we'd sing them. I don't know, it just turned into like this Bohemian Rhapsody-ish kind of like, it's all over the place. I don't even know what to think of it.
Really. I would kind of relate it to actually writing a song to the Warrior off When You're Electric. Basically, it was, yeah. Coral Castle was kind of written in the same way, kind of pieced together, and I mean, kind of took us a while to write.
There was 100 different versions, but yeah, I guess that's the, yeah. I think we finally became a band on the last record in the last year of the band. We toured the entire month of October. We had to work a lot of shitty jobs and over the years, and I don't know. I still think it's very, very hard for a band without any kind of funding to make it out of any kind of hole. We spent the first year of the band in debt, and I don't know. But musically, I think that you listen to our EP and it's pretty embarrassing as far as like time wise, but I really do think When You're Electric will stand up for quite a while, and I think this one, while it's not exactly, I make too many excuses about the band in general, but while this new one is not perfect, and we did it in 8 days and we recorded every track by itself, it was grueling. It's not exactly what I want. It's not exactly, I don't think, what anybody wants. We like, but it's
exactly
a pretty
what
good,
I want. I mean,
it's a pretty good representation, I think.
I've listened to the hell out of it. Like, you know, I've got nothing to do here at work. I'm sitting in front of a computer, you know, and I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, like, I would say, you know, we finally got to the point I always hoped we'd be at. You know, our songs are much tighter. I mean, there's really no room for fat anywhere. I mean, I think this is the first we had, like, a couple of songs that are less than 2 minutes long, which is great, you know. So, I don't know. Anyway, personally, I'm highly satisfied with where we wound up and how the album turned out. Reverted to my own fishing career and then, you know, called it a day, so to speak.